Thanks for listening to another episode of How Good Is Rugby League?
We're stoked to be back for season 5, and this year we're coming back bigger and better than ever.
That's right, Michael. You've been busy over the off-season. We're now on Instagram, X, YouTube, and TikTok. And of course, you can listen to us on all podcasting platforms.
Now it's time for another episode of How Good Is Rugby League? Hello and welcome to another edition of How Good Is Rugby League? My name is Michael Corbin, and joining me, as he does every Tuesday, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, how are you going?
Michael, congratulations. Very happy for you. Well done. Roosters, success, Vegas. Congratulations. I'm zero
thank
out of
you,
two in
you,
tipping
thank
thanks to your team and my team.
I'm one out of two in tipping thanks to my team, so don't worry.
Yeah, what an awesome weekend. I'm so impressed. 40,000 people, a great stadium, a great spectacle. Two fantastic games, very different games of rugby league. I think the South's Manly game was very skillful, fast game of football. Saw a lot of talent on show. Some of the stars, Trbojevic, Latrell, Alex Johnson scores a try. So a good one for the highlights reel. But probably not as much defense in it. And then the other game was two teams that I think are going to be serious contenders at the back end of the year based on initial form and their ability to keep the team on the field and not in the judiciary. But it was a really exciting game, the second game. Just a lot of skill, you know, even things that weren't really accepted, including, you know, the shoulder charges and the try savers and everything that goes with that. I just think that was a great game separate to the Souths game. But what a treat for any people that went and watched. They saw two fantastic but very different games of rugby league.
Completely agree. Obviously, a lot of points in the first game, and in the second game, points were a lot harder to come by. For takeaways from the game, I think we both said last week that Manly would start fast. They have always, under Seibold, they would be a fast starting team. They would come out hot. Luke Brooks, like, I think everyone in rugby league, except for maybe Tigers fans, and probably even Tigers fans, are happy to see how good and just comfortable he looked, just the weight of the world off his shoulders. He had an amazing game in that first game. It was great to see all three Trbojevic brothers carve up on a big stage like that. Ben Trbojevic looks like he's coming to like his man's body. You know, he had a couple of years there where he was a bit scrawny, but he's had a big off season. You can tell that he wants that edge spot, and it's going to be hard to take it from him. And then Olakau'atu got the better of probably the person who, you know, they get compared to a lot in Colin Matangi. Obviously fighting, they both want to fight for that edge spot for New South Wales, and he got the better of Colin Matangi in this matchup as well. So, look, there was good signs for Manly. For South Sydney, on the other hand, three of his backline out. Souths play very expansive football, a smaller, more mobile pack on a narrower field with three of your back line out. Tough game. So there's not too much I'm going to, you know, take away from Souths' perspective. I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I hope so. Just for me, defense, it's a lot of points. I know it's early days, a lot of points to leak for a team that really struggled in the back half of last year with defense. I was impressed given the narrow field, and we do like to play out the left, out the right. We did manage to find space. There were a couple of tries to wingers and the outside back. So in that sense, I was happy, but just this season for like we can always score points. Our team, even when we got wooden spoons, we could score points. It's our defense that's really going to shape where we finish, because we just can't go outscoring teams like we did at the back end of last year to win games. Like that needs to tighten up. So it's something I'm going to really be looking and hoping that as a Souths fan, I see early signs that they've been working on that over the next few weeks.
Agreed. One thing that does need to improve for South Sydney is their kicking game, I think, which is a bit of a letdown. I don't know, like Latrell has to do a lot for this team. Adding kicking to that might be a necessity. Pressure's on Lachlan Ilias. And for South Sydney, the one thing I will say is your next three games, you now go versus a hungry Brisbane team, then you versus a Roosters team, and then I believe you versus Penrith. So you need at least one win in those three games. Otherwise, it could be a rough, very, very rough start to the season where you are going to have to be playing catch up for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think round four is the Bulldogs on Good Friday, and then I think we get Penrith. So,
Okay.
you know, but I completely agree with you, Michael. It's never easy. As Nick Politis says, it's more of a TV schedule. Souths are a big team; they play big teams, and it's just something we're gonna have to face. So, hopefully, we
Yeah.
can get through that.
Well, either one of South or Brisbane, who are two teams that people consider title favourites, among the title favourites, are going to be 0-2 coming into the start of a round three. So, yeah, big storyline there. The other game, Roosters game, was very thrilled with the result. From what I've seen, from what I saw from the Roosters, the ball movement and the cohesion on attack was better than almost any point last year, except for maybe the last couple games. It was the ball moved so well. Teddy looked a lot better. Joey Manu was fantastic, but it was more the Brandon Smith, Victor Radley, them looking so comfortable in their roles, which they didn't all of last year. That's what I was most impressed with.
Yeah, I agree with you. It just they seem more together than at any point last year. Tedesco looked a bit fitter. I think the spine, as you said, Smith, even Walker had beefed up, and it was just a
Yeah.
very impressive looking team. I think they came out with a bit of a point to prove, Mike. You know, it was Vegas. There's a new audience there for them. They are notoriously slow starters. I think Robbo just won his fourth out of 11 round one matches, or third out of 11 round one matches. So,
Fourth out of 12.
yeah, fourth out of 12. There you go. So, you know, it's a hell of a record, but they can't be playing every game from round 18, round 20 as if they're playing sudden death football if they want to seriously challenge at the back end of the year. We've seen that in that 2013 to 15 period, in 18, 19, they set themselves up with a top four spot. They rested players in the back end, and they have to do that this year, which means that these early games are crucial if they want to finish in the top four.
At the back end of last season, Robert said, "I have to do a better job coaching." And he completely, this offseason, reinvented the way that he was going to prepare our players for the offseason and for the start of the season. And it showed. We got a brand new strength and conditioning coach, brand new Justin Holbrook's coming on attack. Things changed, and the differences straight away, you can tell. And yeah, very, very happy with the start of the season. Let's see if we can continue it against Manly. For Brisbane, I think one of the big concerns for them was when they lost Brenda Piakura, who went out in about the 3rd minute of the game to a concussion. They didn't have an edge back row on the bench. And because of that, they had to play Carrigan in the middle, Carrigan on the edge. And I just think it changes too much for them when he has to go to the edge. You've lost Flegler, you've lost Palacia. Their middle just suffered because of the fact that you'd no longer had House and Carrigan as that 1-2 punch. So maybe that's something that Kevy has to consider. Reece Walsh, fantastic. That try that he set up for Dean Mariner, the kick where he just absolutely gassed Joseph Suaalii around, like just went straight around. It was insane athleticism. And he also set up the second try for them. Just his speed is insane. This Brisbane team is coming in a bit of a slow start after a bit of a premier, the loss in the grand final. But again, they're a team that are going to be there at the back end of the season.
And what about the weekend as a whole, Mike? What about the Vegas experiment? How do you rate it? What do you think?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. I thought it was, I was high on it coming in. It exceeded my expectations. The quality of game was great. It's very different to what we normally see in a round one match. It's normally a lot clunkier. Like the second game, both teams completed over 75%. I, yeah, just
What do you think
the,
that's
it's,
down to, Mike? Do you think it's a rising to the occasion? I mean, part of me thinks it is the teams going into camp for a week or two before the match. We always know that at the camp mentality, I think we saw the success of it with the good teams in COVID, where, Souths, Penrith, Melbourne in particular in 2021 really huddled into camp and managed to dominate the competition based on the fact they were all together all the time. I do think that part of that was part of the reason for the really high quality football.
I think it's also the stakes, right? Like it yes, it is round one, but these teams had a bit more to play for than a normal round one. We've like you say that Roosters are notoriously slow starters. We've never had to go over to America on this bigger stage and have to perform in a round one. It changes things. It changes players' mentality, whether you'd like to think about that or not. So I think that's the big part of it. And yeah, it teams are going to be clamoring to go over there next year. I can tell you
Now, who are your early picks? You got any?
that. If I would be sending Melbourne, I would be sending Newcastle for Kalen Ponga. Maybe you send a Parramatta or a Cowboys. And I'd
The
love
other one
New
I thought
Zealand
was the
would be,
Warriors.
yeah, Warriors. Yeah, you want to try? Like, I think Ponga is a must. If you can get him on the grand stage, just his skill and athleticism would draw eyeballs for sure.
The other one I think you have to get, you need the you're right, you need the selling point player. And I think that if they want to, I just think you have to get the Penrith Nathan Cleary story. You sell it as like the Patriots, the Brady, like this is what he did in the grand final. Like, regardless of whether you think that Nathan is up there as the best, he's the champion of the game. This is how he single-handedly brought his team back from the brink in the grand final to win three in a row, and that's your story.
Yeah, well, how this is a question with Penrith. If they do go on to win this year, how do you can you play the World Club Challenge over in Vegas? I saw that was floated around Twitter after the game. You know, how to get Penrith over there. So yeah, if because if they win, they have to go over to England to play the World Club Challenge. If you do it in Vegas, different spectacle.
That's
So
it.
maybe there's a way, but yeah, lot to consider. A lot to consider. But yeah, like I said. Teams will be throwing, as Peter Volander said, brown paper bags not filled with sandwiches to get over there.
No comment. I feel like that's how a couple of teams got there this year.
Ah, oh, maybe. No team that went over there is used to brown paper bags.
No, of course not.
No. Now, one down point for the weekend was the Spencer Lenu situation. As of right now, we're recording this Tuesday night. I don't. Is he at the judiciary now?
I'm not sure, Mike.
Yeah, there's
I
no
think he
verdict
only,
yet. I thought he was there tonight, but there's no verdict as of yet. Now, who knows how long he's going to get suspended? Obviously, there's no place for racism anywhere in our game. So, whether they throw the book at him or not, I'm not sure. I don't want to comment too much until all the evidence is out there and there's a verdict. But yeah, it wasn't a good look.
No, it wasn't.
All right. Now we've done that. Let's move on to the rest of round one, which kicks off Thursday night.
Round one kicks off Thursday night. Newcastle are hosting Canberra. Now, you'll recall the last time these two teams played, it was in that epic final in the first week last year, which was a cracking contest. I think the league looking to capture that, they've given Canberra and Newcastle, two teams not really familiar with Thursday night, that that spectacle. So that will be an absolute belter, Mike. I'd imagine it's going to be sold out once again.
I think it already has sold out, yeah. Will be a great game. We weren't high on our Raiders coming into the season. So for me, it's going to be Newcastle getting the job done in round one.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, we spoke about what Canberra is missing this year. We've both got them as not fan, like not really up there. I think there's a lot of expectation on the Knights, and I'd be intrigued to see how they get started this year. They need a strong start to really get going. So Newcastle's team, co-captain Jaden Brayley is still got a hamstring issue. Phoenix Crossland is going to start at hooker after doing so successfully through the back part of 2023. Dylan Lucas, Mike, is he a cousin of yours?
No, he's not.
Starts in the back row with new recruit Kai Pierce-Paul named on the bench. Cogger begins the year on the interchange, and Adam O'Brien has retained Hastings and Gamble as his halves. For Canberra, Ethan Strange has won the battle to have the first crack at number six. Rapana is in the fullback in place of Seb Chris. Morgan Smithies will make his NRL debut as part of the run-on side, playing lock in the absence of Corey Horsburgh. And Elliot Whitehead is sidelined for 3 to 4 weeks, meaning Hosking starts in the second row. Levi is the hooker, Starling's on the bench, and no room for Zach Wolford in this lineup. I agree with you, Mike. Newcastle wins this one.
Yeah, home crowd. Can't go past the Knights, especially how they ended last season.
Yep, that's right. Okay, the early game on Friday, the Warriors, who were the real story of last year, hosting Cronulla. So CNK is out of action. So Tuapiki will line up at fullback for his sixth NRL appearance. RTS returns at center. I'm very excited to see that. Luke Metcalf gets the nod at 5'8", with Tamari Martin in the reserves. No room for Jazz Tafanga, with Bunty Afoa and Tom Ale, the preferred middle option on the bench alongside Dylan Walker. And for the Sharks, Nico has been cleared to play and will line up alongside Braden Trindle. Braden Hamlin, Ueli is at least another week away, so Oregon Kafusi and Royce Hunt start up front with Toby Rudolph on the bench. Mike?
It's amazing that you have that Roger has bought into this role as playing center so much that even when CNK is out of a squad, he's going to stay in that spot. They clearly don't want to step on CNK's toes, which is amazing. This team is bought into what they want to do this year. I'm tipping Newcastle at home. I'm sure it will be a sellout like the game before. New Zealand will be a sellout like the game I mentioned before. And this will be a big start to their campaign for 2024.
Yep, I am with you on that one. The big game Friday night, the Storm hosting Penrith down in Melbourne. Munster is named as he continues to battle a preseason groin injury. Joe Chan has earned a starting role in Melbourne's competitive back row. Loiero moving to lock, and Sean Bloor is listed as 18th man. The Pap is back in the number one jersey after an incident-free few months on the injury front. And for the Panthers, Jerome Luai will play his first game since being injured midway through last year's grand final. Taruva is set to line up on the wing after his injury in the World Club Challenge. Taylan May gets a crack at filling that centre role created by Stephen Crichton's departure. And in the absence of Mitch Kenny, Summerton gets the nod to start at number nine, and Tyrone Peachy is on the bench, but likely will play some dummy half. Big one.
So I have two rules in tipping. Always tip Melbourne in round one and never tip against Penrith.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. Now, if Cameron Munster is out, it's easy for me. I'm tipping Penrith. If he does play, it's a lot harder task. But I think even as Craig Bellamy has gone, I think 20-0 in round one, I'm tipping Penrith. I can't believe I'm tipping against the Storm in round one, but I'm tipping Penrith.
Yeah, and wouldn't it be ironic if in his last year, it's the year he can't do it?
I know. I know. It's such an amazing record. And whoever did the draw at the NRL is licking their lips at this contest.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, I'm just going to say Melbourne. Like that record, some things in rugby league are just sacred.
Crazy.
Melbourne
it's
winning
crazy.
Melbourne winning round one under Craig Bellamy is one of them.
Yeah.
Saturday, 5:30. Always love this matchup. Throwback to the old days. Eels and Bulldogs at CommBank Stadium. Mike Acevo serves a three-game ban. So Simonson shifts to the wing. And Morgan Harper, who has joined from Manly, partners Pennicini in the centres. Jerry Lusick is named to start at hooker. And Brendan Hands comes off the bench. Madison is right to go, but Greig, with a hamstring injury, will miss the season opener. For the Dogs, the skipper, Stephen Crichton, lines up at centre alongside Garaz with Blake Taff at fullback. After starting both preseason clashes, former Rooster Drew Hutchison and Matt Burden are the halves. Former Panther Jamin Salmon gets first shot at lock, and Curran starts on the bench alongside Mann, Morin, and Sammy Hughes. This will be a good game.
I don't know what sort of dirt Blake Taff has on Cameron Serraldo, but he is lucky to be wearing that number one jersey after the performances he put on in the trials. I can't believe they're not giving Stephen Crichton that one jersey. It makes no sense to me. It doesn't. I can't comprehend it. I am tipping Parramatta to win this one. I think they do it easily. Yeah. Brown, Gutho, going to dominate.
Bulldogs picked up Daniel Saluka for Fede yesterday as well, by the way.
Yeah, he's a great player. Both our teams wanted him really badly.
Really, really badly. But again, we know Gus, he's got these players there to fill a job, there to fill the void and be there.
The one thing that are missing is middle forward. So that does make kind of sense.
Yeah, exactly. Parramatta, I think, get the upper hand in this one as well. I agree with you, Mike. But I am intrigued to see how Stephen Crichton goes. I will probably lean towards him having some big role in this game and accept it now that he's not playing for Penrith. I can really acknowledge what a great player he is.
To be Para or Dogs?
I'm going to go Para.
Okay.
Yeah. Saturday night, Titans host the Dragons on the Gold Coast. Desi Hasler returns as the coach of the Titans. Flanagan returns as the coach of the Dragons. Premiership winning coaches, both with a lot of work to do. For the Titans, a new number one with Jaden Campbell likely to miss the first month with a knee injury. For Fifita, Peck is out, so Bo Fermor moves to the left edge, while Cleese Haas claims the other second row spot with Keenan Palliser at lock. Brimson is right to go in the centres after failing HIA, and Isaac Liu is cleared to play his 250th NRL game. For the Dragons, Lomax is on the wing and Sloan at fullback for the season opener. Jacob Little, hamstring, and Blake Laurie, ribs, are good to go. And Viliami Fifita is part of a new-look bench that also includes former Bulldog Ray Vitala-Marina and Michael Molo.
So Manly under Dez always started the season slow. So this tip might surprise people, but I'm going to Dragons in this one. No Fifita, no Jaden Campbell. Going the Dragons. Can't believe I'm saying that, but I think they get the win here.
Yeah, like regardless of the Titans and Manly starting the season slowly, like, you tipping the Dragons probably needs its own podcast, Michael.
I'm trying to get the Dragons fans off my back.
Get into their head. Get into their head, I guess. First 5 weeks, that's usually where they bank all their wins.
Yeah, exactly. They start fast, and then by Anzac Day, they're done.
They're done. All right, Dolphins, Cowboys, Sunday afternoon. Dolphins, of course, last season in this corresponding game, shocked the NRL world and really launched themselves with that win. Can they back it up this year? Let's see. Tom Gilbert, injured his ACL after we recorded a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. So Ray Stones at lock and Kenny Bromwich will come in from the bench. Sean O'Sullivan failed an HIA against the Warriors, but he's right to line up alongside Nick Arima in the halves. And former Broncos Farnworth and Flegler should feel right at home as they launch their season at Suncorp Stadium. Tessie New and Jack Bostock team up on the left side with no room in the 17 for Ewan Aitken or Avarillo. For the Cowboys, Felt has won the battle for the right wing. Valamy named amongst the reserves. Leibart will play his fifth NRL game as he takes over at centre for the departed Peter Hiku. And the season-ending injury to Cohen Hess sees Jason Tamalolo starting at prop and Sam McIntyre joining the bench. Thomas McAuley's strong trial form wasn't enough to win him a spot in the 17 as he is listed amongst the reserves alongside Jack Gajewski and Jake Clifford.
It's probably the toughest game in the round for me to pick. I'm going to go the Cowboys, I think. The loss of Tom Gilbert is a big one. But I had the Dolphins finishing eighth. I honestly think that without him this year, it almost means that for me, they don't make the eight. I think he's that important to what they do. Yeah, I'm going to go the Cowboys in this one. I just think that even though Wayne will have this team prepared, Cowboys have something to prove this year. They really need to get rid of the form that they brought in last year and try and establish themselves as a top eight team again. I think this is where they start.
Yeah, they need to make a bit of a statement. I'm with you. The Tigers have the bye this round, which is good news. And a good start for them. Okay, so recapping.
Benji gets 2 points off the board.
That's
huge.
It. That's it. Recapping Michael's tips for this week and mine as well. Might as well do mine this year. We've both gone the Knights over the Raiders. We've both gone the Warriors over Cronulla. I've tipped Melbourne to beat Penrith. I think Michael's leaning towards Penrith, and that will be locked in if Munster doesn't play. We've both gone the Eels to beat the Bulldogs on Saturday afternoon. Michael's tipped the Dragons, which probably has all Dragons fans wanting to tip the Titans, and I've also tipped the Titans. And then in the final game of the round at Suncorp Stadium, I'm going the Dolphins because Wayne and Michael's gone the Cowboys, and that... It will be the end of the longest round one ever.
Then can we tip the bye against the Tigers? Is that possible?
You could.
If you do want to join our tipping comp, there's still plenty of time to join. You may have missed two games, but if you're already on footy tips, your games should count anyway. We will post a link in the in the podcast description underneath. It's also available on our Instagram, our Twitter, and on TikTok as well, and on YouTube. So anywhere you watch us, hear us, listen to us, you'll be able to find the link to the tipping comp, and we'll repost that as well.
Yeah, and you may have missed two games, but you'll still be tied with me.
Also, anyone who has been reaching out on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, love the feedback. Canberra fans are not happy with us after predicting them last, but someone's got to be it. New things coming this year. We're excited to keep on bringing out more videos. One more thing, Emmanuel. How good is rugby league?
How good is rugby league?
Thanks, guys.